Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody? We've got dumps like a truck, and thighs like what? Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. We're not talking Cisco today. We're talking Andre Cisco. Sorry, I had that wrong. There's no thong song here, but there is a violent Jaguar safety coming back to Kansas City. We got a lot to talk about with Sterling Holmes and myself. Welcome back to the Arrowhead Attic Podcast. The Chiefs are playing a real game. They're making their postseason debut. But you and I, sir, we're not making our debut. We're old pros at this by now. Like, I feel like we're old familiar friends gathering with our other familiar friends. How are you feeling today?
I'm outstanding. That was the best intro you've ever done on this show. And you've done a lot of great intros. That was tops. I love it. You know what else is tops? Having a weekend to relax and watch football. Yeah. Not being stressed out as you watched the Chargers have the most Charger game you have ever seen. Being relaxed as you see the Vikings crumble under pressure. It was awesome. I love this. You're relaxed as you don't have to watch Tyler Huntley try and dive from the 2-yard line like he's Trevor Lawrence. It was nice. I loved it, man. It was a great week, and I drank beers, watched some football. Chiefs, they're moving on, facing the Jaguars. I am stoked.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, you got to love these bye weeks, not only because it allows the Chiefs to, like, be absolutely healthy and look incredibly rested. But, yeah, I mean, like, everyone else is, like, having to scrap for these wins, you know? Like, playoff football is so tough. We saw that over the weekend. Even, you know, even those teams that you expected to win, they like barely won and held on thanks to like random things. We'll get into all that in a second. But yeah, it was great. But I'm also ready to see Chiefs football for sure.
Yeah, I'm ready to see Chiefs football. You mentioned scrapping for wins. Don't scrap for a win. Drink a win. And that is KC Beer Co. KC Beer Co. is always a win. The best beer you are going to have. I'm drinking the Helles Lager, one of my go-tos. Matt Connor, what are you drinking over there?
It's an special release. Wait, that's an Italian accent. I don't know. You're right. It's our beer. I added good juju to the whole thing. Our new Arrow Red Lager is out, limited time. You got to go there to get it, folks. Sorry. I don't think they're like wide distro on this. But if you're in or around the KC area, I behoove you. I beseech you to get two scoops of Arrow Red, two cartons of Arrow Red Lager. Take them to go. You're going to love it. We, you know, like KC Beer, when they say dare to beer different, that's a great slogan, but it's not just a great slogan. I mean, like, dude, we can have nothing. We could be on this podcast, not sponsored by anyone and not even talking Chiefs. And I would sit here with just you, just talking about the beers I like, and I'd be talking about KC Beer as a big part of that conversation. So it just makes it the easiest sponsor to have when you love who you're talking about.
Yeah, KC Beer Co. Again, if you've not tried it, please, if you live in the area, go out and try it. If you live out of town, come to KC, go to a Chiefs game, and before you go, stop by KC Beer Co. Trust me, you will love it. Let's get into this past weekend before we hit on the Chiefs injury updates and as well as some of the impact that might have on this upcoming week. First, let's talk about the Bengals. The Bengals lost another offensive lineman. They lost Jonah Williams, their left tackle, and they already were missing one of their best guards. Now, the Bengals' offensive line is starting to resemble the Chiefs' offensive line from the Super Bowl, but you will get no boo-hooing from me because I was told next man up. Remember that. We were all told next man up. So if Bengals fans come in your mentions and start saying, but injuries, you know what you tell them? Tough shit. I mean, I don't know what else to tell them. The Chiefs, we've had to deal with this. The Bengals are now dealing with this. Their offensive line is in shambles. Their one saving grace is Joe Burrow gets the ball out quick. And the fact that Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Hayden Hurst, they can beat their man quick. They're very good receivers. That's the X factor here. But what did you take away from that Bengals close win over the Miami Dolphins?
You know, I think in some ways it's possible.
Sorry. Ravens.
Ravens. Yeah. And, you know, like I'm not running with any of these results. Not at all. Look, the Chiefs played. The Chiefs needed overtime to get past the Texans, right? The Chiefs needed a few things to go their way to get past Denver twice late in the season. Like what we've seen lately is just proof that it's tough to win in the National Football League. And coming into the postseason, I don't want to point to the Bengals last week and go, oh, if Tyler Huntley almost beat you, I'm not worried about that. And I don't want to point to the Bills and say like, oh, if you weren't lucky against Miami, like you wouldn't be this far. I don't even want to look at the Jags and do that and say like, oh, wait, you're going to commit five turnovers. You know, like reading the results of one game into the script of what will happen in the next game is a fool's errand. Like we've just seen that time and again. If you read Clyde Edwards-Helaire's production from the first three games into the rest of the season, you would have been shocked at the fact that he's been a complete non-factor. Right. That's just the way these things go. And so a good team, they found scrappy ways to win, but the Bengals are still the team that beat, you know, the Chiefs three times in a calendar year. The Bills are still the team that was largely called the most talented roster on both sides of the ball for most of the season. I think there are some takeaways that you could look to. Oh, maybe these injuries are catching up with it. Like maybe there are themes that are slowly emerging, but looking at the results of these two games, I think a lot of Chiefs fans are going, oh, this may be a lot easier than we thought it would be. And I don't want to be one of those. How are you feeling about it all?
Yeah. So obviously we're going to get in touch on the Jacksonville Jaguars because that's the next man up, next team up. So we'll talk all about them. We just wanted to give you guys a little breakdown of our thoughts with the Bengals and Bills. That's been the talk all offseason, all regular season. Obviously, two of the teams that the Chiefs lost to in the regular season. I mentioned the Bengals. I'm worried about their offensive line as far as if you are a Bengals fan, that's a disaster. That's not going to be easy. Joe Burrow got sacked a ton last year. Chiefs couldn't do it, but the other teams sacked Joe Burrow a ton last year. And if any indication from when Williams went down, that left tackle is going to be a massive issue for the Bengals. When it comes to Buffalo, they played a Chiefs normal where their talent level outshined the turnover margin in that game. That looked like a game the Kansas City Chiefs would have done this year and won, right? A game where Josh Allen makes a couple amazing throws, one three, like what the hell, maybe a fumble here and there. You also had one interception that went directly off Cole Beasley's face mask into the arms of the defender. The Bills are good, but they're so reliant on the deep ball only. They're so reliant on it's either going to be a home run or it's an out. It's like the three true outcomes in baseball. They're the Adam Dunn, and that's an issue. Like if the Chiefs can get pressure with four, which they started to as the season's gone on, that's going to help KC. They can't. If Josh Allen has time, Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, they can light you up. No Von Miller is a huge loss. If you're Cincinnati is in Buffalo this upcoming week, it's going to be interesting. The Buffalo defense has not been the same. The Cincinnati offensive line's not been the same. We'll see which one really gives, which one takes, or if it's going to be a complete wash. But as far as the Chiefs fans' perspective goes, this is going to be very interesting to watch the trenches between those two teams.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't want to say that those games didn't matter. I don't want to say that the loss of Jonah Williams didn't matter. You know, the maxim is that the game is lost and won in the trenches. We've seen that be true of the Chiefs when they lost big to the Bucks. That could be true of these two teams. So I will say this, if something could be set up for the Chiefs, well, this is it. I mean, on paper, the team you want early are the Jags. On paper, you want the other two to duke it out. On paper, you want to see that they're thin and hurting in places where it's important. If you want the easy, the path of least resistance to the Super Bowl. And you got to love the fact that no one in the NFC really looks like any major threat at all. I mean, it may be even tougher. The AFC Championship game should be tougher than any Super Bowl matchup for any team involved. So.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I mean, that's just what I think. So, yeah, on paper, I love it. At the same time, we just saw last week that even if you're taking on a team that you think you should dominate, you're like, oh, Skylar Thompson, are you kidding me? Like how many Bills fans were thinking, oh, yeah, please, Skylar Thompson, bring it on. Let's do it, Josh Allen. And then you're biting your nails for 60 game minutes.
And it comes down to Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill putting butter on their hands before the game. That's what it comes down to. Before we start looking too far ahead, we're obviously going to look at this upcoming matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's not a game where they're just going to roll over and say, yep, it's done. Chiefs are moving on. There's an actual game to be played. So we will break that down as well as give you guys health updates from all the Kansas City Chiefs players. But before we do that, guys, help us out here. We're passing along this awesome promo for new BetMGM customers for the division round. Bet $10 on any wildcard team and win $200 in free bets as long as one touchdown is scored, regardless if your bet wins or loses. Enter code Arrowhead. That's one word at sign up. Using our promo code Arrowhead is a great way to support Arrowhead Addict. We get a small fee from BetMGM for each new bettor that uses our code. So if you don't yet have a BetMGM account, please do us a favor and sign up with code Arrowhead and place that $10 bet. New customers only, 21 plus and present in select states. Now bear with me. I'm going to try and do this as fast as I possibly can. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credits. Free bets expire in 7 days from an issuance. See full terms at betgmedia.com. Gambling problem? Call text 1-800-GAMBLER. Illinois, Indiana. What's that? Maryland, Minnesota, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Wyoming. 1-800-522-4700. Colorado, Kansas, 877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY-NY, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona, 888-789-7777, Connecticut, 1-800-BETS-OFF, that's in Iowa, 1-877-770-STOP, 7867 LA. Call, text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789, or 1-888-532-3500, Virginia. My goodness, that is a lot.
That was a incredible performance getting that out. Yeah, kudos to you on that one.
You get thirsty halfway through, by the way. Like, it's one of those situations where you get really thirsty. It's so much words. And if you bumble one, your mind's going ahead and you're like, shit, I got to go back and hit that state.
I love that you had to like interpret state codes.
Oh,
and it was like somehow Maryland or something gave you a hiccup. Anyway,
oh, yeah. It's hard. Okay. You haven't done that since elementary school. When was the last time you've gone by and gone through every single state, two letter initials? It's hard.
You did great. You did great. It was your 13 seconds. You did it well. So let's get into some Chiefs football. Let's start today because one of the major storylines about the Chiefs right now is what a first-round bye provides and the fact that the Chiefs are now well-rested. While everyone was scrapping it out, it was yet another week to pile on top of another week. Right now, the Chiefs are coming off of a bye and looking very, very healthy. I'm like, some of the guys they're adding, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that they were even a part of the equation. And what I'd love from you, if you feel fully recovered from your betting promo and disclaimer read, is I'd love to kind of talk about, and maybe we can even get some of the comments here, how much of an impact do you feel like each of these players make, either with their return or maybe with their postponed return? And I want to dive into just a few names here. But first of all, we saw Sky Moore leave a few weeks ago with a lacerated hand. He's been out, which, by the way, that just sounds like really painful, like a deep cut in the middle of your hand or whatever. Like, that would just last forever. He's back now, full participant in practice. He's not been a big factor for the whole season, but he's definitely had his moments, and more so in the second half. Is his return heartening to you in a way? Do you kind of shrug at it? Like, what's your take on Sky's return to the lineup?
They better not use him as a punt returner. No, I think it's fine. I don't think they will use him a ton. It's not like Sky Moore was already getting tons of playing time as the season went on. Now in the playoffs, you'll probably see fewer and fewer snaps for the back-end guys. I like having him as an insurance policy, right? As another guy we'll talk about later probably remains out. I like having Sky Moore back just in case, but I don't expect to see a lot of Sky Moore, and hopefully not on special teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I like that he's back. I think he adds a dimension that can be really exciting. I'm very excited about Sky Moore going forward. I think in year 3 and 4, we're going to really like the niche that he carves out on this offense. He's going to grow into that next year. The other player that came back and then had to sit out practice today, and even a few commenters are already talking about it. Let's talk Mecole Hardman. How bothered are you that he wasn't able to go today and had a setback?
Well, obviously the injury is more serious than was initially let on. I know there was talk about if he was even going to go on the IR. What's interesting about this is really knows exactly what the injury is. Originally, it was abdominal illness. Then we heard groin. Now we're hearing pelvic. So I'm not 100% sure. Everything I've found, I can't find a legitimate source that's saying this is exactly what it is. They're keeping it under wraps. Obviously, he's not good to go. Obviously, it's not coming around the way they thought it would. So it seems like he's going to be out at least against the Jaguars, and most likely it's starting to sound like, from at least the Kansas City Chiefs perspective, he'll probably be out the whole entire playoffs. As far as the significant loss part here, I think Hardman helps the offense. I think him on the team is a plus, but I'm not going to sit here and say if the Chiefs can't beat the Jaguars without Hardman, you can't come back and say, well, Hardman was out. He was the reason why. No. Kadarius Toney is going to be taking the majority of the snaps now from Hardman. The Chiefs have enough weapons without him. I'm not necessarily worried about the Chiefs not having Mecole Hardman. Let me ask you this. Where would you rank Hardman as far as offensive weapons, right? Not offensive line, not quarterback. Where would you rank him? Because he's obviously behind Kelsey. He's behind Juju. He's behind Jerick McKinnon. Behind Isaiah Pacheco.
I think you've already buried him farther than I would.
He's behind Tony in my mind, and he's behind MVS. In my mind, he's about the seventh
way
weapon.
Farther than I would. You've buried him way farther than I would. I would say Kelsey, and then maybe Schuster, maybe Smith Schuster, and then
maybe.
I mean, I have to.
You're saying Juju's a maybe? No, Juju was a much more impactful player than Hardman.
Here's what I'm saying. Look, you asked me, and then you want to dog my answer. Do you want my answer, or are you just prepared to box whoever I put in the ring, or what's happening?
Yeah, I'm ready to box. I'm ready to box.
Look, I'm saying there was something happening with Mecole Hardman at midseason that, like, you just brought up Jerick McKinnon really early, and he has been electric, but he was nowhere for the first two-thirds of the season. And this season has gone in those waves. It was Clyde early getting all the touchdowns. Then Kelsey had an incredible first two-thirds, and then he's been without a score lately. McKinnon's been so on fire that he won Offensive Player of the Month in, like, December, January in the AFC. But in other ways, these same guys have, like, completely gone off the map. But something was happening there before Mecole went out, where he was clicking in such a way with Mahomes and with what Reed wanted to do, especially near the red zone. And I liked that rhythm. He was clearly picking up on something. We began to talk about him. There was even discussion about, like, oh, maybe we need to talk about bringing him back. And then now everyone's like, oh, he's already played his last game. It's over. You know, we really don't need him because he's redundant with Tony. And maybe some of those skills are redundant with Tony, but also when they're duplicated with Tony in an offensive system, it's that much more dangerous. And Hardman knows the system more than anyone else on this entire wide receiver room. And so if you said he could come back and be a part of things, I would be way more enamored than probably most people, because I think he's better than what we were remembering. And he had an incredible burst at midseason, and that abdomen injury really killed his stock when it was climbing the fastest.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Again, I apologize for boxing you without letting you get your side of things out here. I like Mecole Hardman. That's not what I'm saying here. I just don't think he's a major contributor, if that makes sense. He's a nice piece to have, but he's not necessary. He played in 8 games, 297 yards. It's not like Mecole Hardman is out here lighting the world on fire. He had those 4 touchdowns. I will give him that. He was finding the end zone. But it's not like Mecole Hardman had 8 games and 600 plus yards. He was a fine player to have, but he's, in my opinion, behind for sure Juju, behind Travis Kelce, obviously, behind what McKinnon has done recently, behind Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney and Mahomes have some sort of mind meld, it feels like, on the deep ball. Mahomes has been off with a lot of dudes deep. He's not been off with Kadarius Toney. I think McCole Hardman's fine, but I just don't think he's going to be a difference maker if he was here or if he's gone.
How many yards does Toney have in this offense?
Let me see.
Right?
I would also say snap count has been way less. The first couple games was Toney trying to get acclimated, as well as he had a multitude of injuries.
I get it. I'm just saying, you know, like if you talk about, you can't talk about McKinnon being a big weapon. Hear what I'm saying? You can't talk about McKinnon being a big weapon and then not mention the fact that he has so few yards and then discount McCole Hardman for not having yards. Like, those guys are kind of one and the same. They're red zone weapons. They were figuring out how to use them. Maybe the full yardage. McCole maybe wasn't getting 100-yard games every game, like some sort of number one receiver. That's not what I meant. But I would put a healthy Hardman, I think, as a number 3 to 4 to 5 weapon on this team. And I think he would have shown that abdomen injury hadn't been so catastrophic to a contract year. That's all. So if he can get healthy, I'm anxious to see him back.
Yeah. I feel for McCole Hardman, by the way. That sucks for him. This was a guy who was probably going into his big payday of his NFL career. He got injured. And you were right. He was having a nice connection early on with Mahomes, especially in the red zone. They were finding a great way to use him as the end of last year went into this year. Again, my opinion is just, I think Kadarius Toney makes him slightly redundant, although I do agree with your statement of them on the field at the same time is devastating for defenses, maybe opens up a little bit more for Juju and Travis Kelce. But I feel for McCole Hardman, sucks for him to have this injury at this point, of especially where his career is going.
Yeah. Let me bring up another name that's sure to bring all kinds of cheers and joy. Let's talk Clyde. Right, Clyde Edwards-Helaire returned to practice today. Now, it doesn't mean he's on the active roster. The window is open from him returning from injured reserve. There's 21 days for him to practice. There's plenty of time for the Chiefs to kind of figure out whether he's healthy enough or has something that he can bring. Are you glad to see him back? Are you hoping he makes his way back to the active roster for postseason play?
I'm glad he's at least healthy. You don't want any player to be hurt, so I'm glad to at least see him practicing and getting healthy. And I do think you and I actually might be boxing on the same team here. If he's the third running back on the active roster when healthy, I'm okay with that. I think he adds a little bit more overall than Ronald Jones. I think Clyde brings more to the table. I think Clyde was having a pretty solid start to the season before the injury, but I don't want him getting snaps over Jerick McKinnon or Isaiah Pacheco. The Chiefs have a very good thing going with that duo, and I don't want Clyde eating into that. Clyde was having some effectiveness in the red zone, but I like what Isaiah Pacheco, the way he runs. I like Jerick McKinnon, the way he catches the football, as well as keeps defenses off guard with his elite speed. I just think Clyde Edwards-Helaire would be a fine insurance policy as the third back on the active roster.
Yep. I would stamp all that with yes and amen and be done with the conversation. One more for you. Jody Fortson. And I want to bring that, he's back at practice too after being gone for a while. And I want to bring this up too, because when you start to talk about the use of Fortson along with Noah Gray in certain packages, defenses that have learned how to maybe frustrate or stymie the Chiefs in other ways suddenly have to change up their looks and account for something that's totally different, which makes me very heartened to see Jody Fortson back in practice. And I'd love to see him added back to the roster to really do something here. What's your take on him coming back? Are you excited? Do you think that's really not a real factor?
Again, it's kind of so McCole adds more, right? But to a similar extent, nice guys to have, but I don't think it's going to be the reason why the Chiefs win or lose. I think Jody Fortson's a nice red zone threat, as well as Mecole Hardman, as well as Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Those three guys have had nice seasons when it comes to effectiveness in the red zone. Jody Fortson only has 2 touchdowns, but he only has 9 receptions. Almost 25% of his catches are touchdowns. I like Jody Fortson, but they've done a nice thing with obviously Travis, Noah Gray, and then Blake Bell's now back on the active roster. Are they going to keep 4 tight ends? That remains to be seen. They obviously planned on that going into the year, but who knows now? Obviously, postseason, your roster maybe crunches down a little bit. Travis Kelce's probably going to play a lot more snaps now than he did during the regular season. How many snaps are actually left over for Jody? I don't know.
That's a great point. That's a great point where now snap counts and resting and like all that stuff goes out the window when it's one and done every game. That's a great point. That's a great point. Go just to a couple comments here just to see what you guys are saying. Huckleberry Rattler says Clyde hasn't put film up recently, though, so it's an advantage that they could exploit. It's true. I mean, it'll be interesting to see kind of what he has coming back and how good he's looking. They started the year with a clear theme to feed Clyde in the red zone. They also started the year thinking that Isaiah Pacheco was a 7th round pick who needed to earn his keep, and now we've seen that. So, yeah, that'll be really interesting. Mr. Swamp says 4 tight end set, baby. Yeah, I'm all about just crazy looks. Now Fortson is a great red zone threat, says Angry Drunken German. The size, we do love that. We do love. I remember watching the Chargers game the other day and seeing Donald Parham go up for some passes. And that dude is 6'8". You remember that? Like a 6'8" tight end. The mismatch was just crazy. It's a lot of fun to have that kind of size. And then Dan North said, wow, I forgot about Clyde. Man, things have been clicking in the backfield without him, and in a crucial way, just preserve that. I think most of Chiefs Kingdom would agree with you. So let's move on here. We're talking Jaguars. Jacksonville Jaguars visiting. They're playing with house money, right? I mean, this year was already a success just making the playoffs. Doug Peterson's going to make some Coach of the Year votes. Trevor Lawrence would have been talked about having a breakout year already. A franchise that was like lost in Urban Meyer's weirdness a year ago now looks like they've really turned the corner. And then they won a playoff game, which just adds more fuel to that fire. They're having a lot of fun. They're playing good football when they like get their heads together. Doug Peterson's a good coach. We've got kind of a exciting football team here with an X factor or two going on. I'd love to talk about like key matchups, elements. Like when I say like Jags are coming to town to face the Chiefs, is there like the like a top thing off the top of your head that you're like, here's one key matchup thing I'm looking for, you know, when it comes to game time?
Doug Peterson, his aggressiveness. Doug Peterson doesn't have stones. Dude has boulders. I mean, Doug Peterson is a head coach who knows what's going on. This is an aggressive head coach who won a Super Bowl being aggressive. This is a head coach who knows how to win when you are the underdog. The Eagles were massive underdogs. They won. The Jaguars are massive underdogs. What are they going to do? Go for it on 4th and 1, 4th and 2, 4th and 3. They might be on their own 40-yard line, and what's going to happen? They're going to go for it. Seriously, you might see a lot of them going for 2-point conversions on the first or second touchdown drive they have. Hopefully they have none. But if they do, I wouldn't be shocked. We saw an onside kick against the Kansas City Chiefs when they played in the regular season. The Jaguars' season, as you mentioned, has already been a success. If they lose by 50, they won't care. They'll care to an extent, but it's still a success.
Sure.
The Chiefs, to an extent, they might be playing a little tight. They can't do that. Expectations for Kansas City are much higher. If the Chiefs lose this game, that's a massive disappointment. The Jaguars can afford to be a little frisky. Go for it on 4th and 3 on their own side of the 50. And that is a dangerous team.
Yeah.
A dangerous team with a couple of weapons. I don't think they're the Bengals. I know everyone wants to ask, well, who's the Bengals of this year? There's not one. The Jaguars, they don't have Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. Etienne's nice. Christian Kirk would be the third best receiver on that team, although he's a very nice piece. Christian Kirk, he's been worth that contract. Evan Ingram is finally staying healthy, which is nice to see. They're just not as talented as Kansas City. But again, the aggressiveness, if they pick up a ton of fourth downs, this game could be very, very interesting.
By the way, before they sign a free agent or make another draft pick, remember the Jags get Calvin Ridley back next year because they traded him on the down low, just hoping it could provide. That suddenly looks like a very – if I'm a fan of the Jags, and it's hard not to root for them if you're not rooting for the Chiefs, I would be thrilled knowing that Calvin Ridley's kind of sitting there waiting in the wings for the future as a potential addition there. That, of course, that's for 2023. Let's talk about what about you know, you mentioned Travis and that run game has been pretty special at times. The Chiefs have a special run defender of their own, Nick Bolton. And I don't know if you're a big Nick Bolton fan or not. I don't know if you know much about Nick Bolton. I don't really know if you've ever watched Nick Bolton. But
why do people do this to me? Come on. I understand you're joking, but everyone in the comments always was like, yeah, I forgot. Sterling hates Nick Bolton. Guys, I fucking love Nick Bolton. I get it. Okay. I have a problem here.
Yeah. I mean, who do you think it's the best of that battle there?
I would say Nick Bolton going downhill, but if it's Etienne in the pass game, ooh, that's a little difficult because he's very shifty. He's a phenomenal pass catcher as a running back. For all the shit we've given Urban Meyer, which he deservedly gets, right? He said that he could be a wide receiver, and I, to an extent, almost believe him. Mm-hmm. Etienne has a little bit of an Austin Eckler feel, right? As far as the shiftiness, the ability to catch the ball in open space. He's good up against linebackers. That's a little matchup I would be a little concerned about as far as Nick Bolton or Willie Gay Jr., if you will, in pass coverage against Travis Etienne. But as far as going straight downhill, Nick Bolton's a big dude.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be a fun one. I think Nick Bolton would get the best of him in a straight downhill. They run up the gut. Good luck.
You brought up Austin Eckler, and I think that's huge because, you know, looking back, I just thought, man, Eckler really didn't do – much of anything for the Chargers. Like, I don't remember like watching the Chargers game thinking, boy, Eckler's this real X factor. And then looking back at the stats here, you know, Eckler had 13 carries for 35 yards. He had two touchdowns on the ground, but like a 2.7 yards per carry average. And then he only caught two passes for 8 yards. The Jags did a hell of a job on neutralizing the threat out of the backfield, both who could be an effective runner on the ground and certainly then through the air. Do you think that maybe they're going to have an answer for Jerick McKinnon? Like, are we going to see McKinnon take off like normal and continue like he has, or are the Jags onto something about how to play that role?
That's a really good point. The only thing I would say is no Mike Williams. So is Keenan Allen and Keenan Allen almost exclusively.
Yeah.
The Chiefs' offense is a little different. Travis Kelce, Juju Smith-Schuster, Kadarius Toney, Jerick McKinnon. I will also say Mahomes actually throws the ball past the line of scrimmage. For some reason, the Chargers don't allow Justin Herbert to do that. That's why Joe Lombardi got canned. It's just abysmal. They have an absolute alien at quarterback, and they treat him like Matt Schaub. It's embarrassing. I think it's going to be different because Austin Eckler, that was their game plan, was stop Austin Eckler. The Chiefs, it goes, well, who the hell are we going to stop? Travis Kelce, Juju, Mahomes with his legs, you know, Jerick McKinnon, Isaiah Pacheco up the gut. There's so many different options for the Chiefs. I think it'll be a little different.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm curious there. Also looking at those stats, though, you were right in that like Gerald Everett had a hell of a game for the Chargers. If Everett can tear you up, what's Travis Kelce going to do against the Jags? I think Kelce's going for 150 and two touchdowns on Sunday. Do you think that's possible?
Lock it in. Throw five on it. Hey, there you go. There's your bet. Come on, bet with us and take the Matt Connor special. Get aggressive. Don't listen to our betting advice, but if you do, give the earnings to Matt Connor.
Yeah, yeah. Don't take my advice on really on anything, honestly. Yeah, we got a super chat. Sterling, you want to take it?
Yeah, from John F's Wacky World. Are you concerned about injuries concerning the Jags defense's aggressiveness and the loss of Juju after the game this season? I don't know how to answer that. No, not really. I think that there's going to be such a spotlight on Cisco. They'll probably have a little closer eye on Cisco based on what transpired. They might have a quick flag. You know, like in a basketball game that you know is going to be a rock fight. They have a quick first whistle, quick second whistle. The refs try and get control. If the Jags or even the Chiefs try and get extremely physical, I'd expect to see a few flags called early just to keep it in check. I don't think we'll see – they'll be aggressive, the Jags D, but I don't think we'll see anything like we saw against Juju Smith where Juju Smith shoots ready to go in the game because of the injury.
Yeah, you know, we're actually slated to talk about Andre Cisco here coming up next. I'm glad you brought that up, John F's Wacky World. That's kind of fun to say, too. I'm glad your name is not just John F, but John S. Wacky World. You know, like, I'm interested here about Andre Cisco because, you know, we talk at times about petty Pat Mahomes. Do you think we're going to see some of that this week? I mean, do you feel like Mahomes is going to come out and go, let me make an example of this guy who put some of our guys at risk for real injury last time around? Or do you think that Mahomes just like, I'm here to win. I could care less.
Yeah, I think he's here to win. He could care less. If something happens and Cisco's the dude in coverage, you might see a little something. You might see him pull out a thong and just flick it at him, you know. But I don't think it is going to be targeting Cisco, because by the way, Cisco's a good ball player. Like he's a solid football player. He had a good game against the Chiefs. If he gets beat, yeah, there might be a little something, but I don't think it's going to be some targeted effort to force the ball his way. I wouldn't imagine that being the case.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one more matchup thing I just want to go back to here, because we haven't talked about Chris Jones. And when you have a guy who's playing as dominant football as he is, I mean, Jones is just on a tear right now. I love that he's just going to get to keep playing for at least one and hopefully three more games, just to see how much he can continue to get better. Like I was looking up some metrics earlier today, and you know, the Jags, Brandon Scherff was a nice signing, but the Jags center, Luke Fortner, I was looking up some Pro Football Focus metrics, right? Creed Humphrey was the number one center per Pro Football Focus this year, with some overall offensive grade of like 90.1 or something. And then I was like scanning for Fortner, and Fortner is like number 51 on the list, right? Like legit, like past backups and whatever else. And then his like metric on the season was like 45 point something. It was like literally one half of Creed Humphrey. And like, you know, I knew he didn't have a great year, but then, and of course we all have our issues with the way that Pro Football Focus does some things sometimes, you know, like these meaningless metrics, if you will. But it, you know, when, if you're Chris Jones and you're looking at the interior and a playoff contender here has someone at such a deficit, you just got to lick your chops at what we may see from the Chiefs there, and or what other players are going to be able to do, because the Jags are going to have to overcompensate for wherever Jones is at. Do you think we even see Jones like kick outside surprisingly a couple times just to shake that up?
Oh yeah. We've seen it this season. We've seen Chris Jones play a good amount of D end this year, and no one complains because it's been successful. It's worked. It's not all the time, but in obvious pass rush situations, they'll put Mike Dana on the inside, the little NASCAR package, and Chris Jones dominates.
Yeah.
They'll find the weakest matchup. They'll put Chris Jones on him. It also helps that George Karlaftis is coming into his own. It helps that Colin Saunders has had a nice year. It's helped that Frank Clark's had maybe his best year as a Kansas City Chief. It's helped that Carlos Dunlap still has something left in the tank. it all comes down to, in my mind, Joe Cullen. Joe Cullen's done a phenomenal job. That dude does not get talked about enough. I want Joe Cullen to get more respect because this D-line is cooking. It starts with Joe and Chris Jones. And Chris Jones has given Joe Cullen a lot of credit. That means something.
You're saying that the D-line has a Cullen card? Is that what you're saying? That's a Cullen. All right.
I like it. Can I bring up one more thing?
Yeah,
I want to ask you something here. So Trevor Lawrence just shit his britches to start the game. Four picks in the first half. I mean, it was gross. Like, you're just watching a train wreck, and you're sitting there trying to help because you're like, you feel for the people, but all of a sudden, like, he's a superhero. He flips the freaking train over, and all of a sudden, he's like, nah, guys, I was just playing. Do you think we'll see him in the first half be the moment being too big for him, or the lights are too bright? Or do you think he got it out of his system in that first game, and he'll come out now saying, you know what? I saw this. This is just another game. I got it out of my system. I'm good to go now. Which side of Trevor Lawrence do you think we'll see?
That's a great question. I don't think he's, you know, I mean, look, the dude has played some of the biggest football games that a player can play. I don't ever want to say anything's too big for him. Clearly what the Chargers were doing on last week in the wild card weekend worked. I don't know how to answer that. I think the Chiefs come out on top, and I think that we'll talk about our predictions in a little bit. I think that Lawrence is still prone to mistakes. I think he's still learning. I think the Chiefs are really going to complicate that learning curve. That's what Spags does so well against younger quarterbacks. This game will be a great learning experience for him. I don't think the Chiefs are going to come up with four interceptions or, you know, like, I mean, Asante Samuel, what, three by himself last week? I mean, by the way, if you lose a game in which I intercept the ball three times, I'm pissed. I'm beyond pissed. Yeah, I think there's a couple turnovers. Look, the Chiefs are going to come in, and the Chiefs are going to play tight football. That's what they're going to do. They're veteran. They're very, very well coached. They have multiple ex-head coaches on their staff. Like, of all the miscues that we've seen during the season, that shit's all over now. They've had the bye. They've had their rest. They're going to be well prepared against a young team like the Jags, playing with house money and have a lot of fun. The Chiefs are going to come in and go, hey, when it comes to this deep in the postseason, you got to be serious. And so I just think they're going to come in. They're going to play efficient football. The defense is going to get three and outs. The defense may get a turnover or two. I just don't think it's going to be even that close. And I think the Jags are going to take a look and go, oh, this is what it takes to play at this stage. And the Chargers were never going to present that to them. They're never going to present that. Because the Chargers can't even figure out how to even play week-to-week consistent football, let alone, like, what it takes to play at this stage. But the Chiefs, more than any other team right now in the NFL, knows what it takes to play deep into the postseason. They are the team that exhibits this, which, by the way, and I just said this on Twitter, it drives me bananas, bananas, bananas. We should do that, like, bananas, 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 like some sort of
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Why the Chiefs aren't losing one executive and one assistant coach every year is crazy to me. Crazy. Because, you know, you can say, like, oh, well, Bieniemy is, you know, clearly something's wrong there, and clearly Spags this, and clearly, you know, Spags had his chance and he's not there, and Matt Nagy, he wasn't too impressive, so therefore, look, the Patriots bleed leadership every year, even if those guys are, like, known or unknown. It doesn't matter. Like, people just take people from the front office and the coaching staff left and right. And the Chiefs have such an incredible record of sustained success, even before Mahomes, such a strong organizational culture, such a player positive atmosphere, like seamless communication between coaching staff, front office, and team leadership. It's baffling to me. That the Chiefs aren't rolling in compensatory picks because the fruit is getting plucked off the tree. It's crazy.
I agree with you to an extent. First off, your little story right there got me hyped up. I want to run through a wall, and now the Chiefs are going to be the Jags by 50. just because of your speech, I'm fucking stoked right now. Two, though, when it comes to, you know, losing front office members or losing people in the coaching staff, they've lost a decent amount. I mean, it's not like they've been without fault here. They are not without fault. They've without keeping everyone. Ryan Poles just left. We saw Mike Kafka leave. Mike Kafka, by the way, looking like he's going to get an OC job somewhere soon.
But dude, what other team? What other team in the NFL has had their OC in place for 5 years? What other team has had their combined coordinators together for 9 years? Tell me.
Yeah. Good point. Chief,
head coach and two coordinators together for as long as they have, 4 years without any changes to the upper tier of leadership, for a team that is regularly scheduled for the Super Bowl and was already regularly scheduled for the postseason before Mahomes arrived. Crazy, crazy.
Yeah. No, good point. Good point. Someone in the chat brought up a good point. No one wants to leave a winner. That's true. But the Patriots, they do a good job of, hey, leave. We'll bring in new thoughts. We'll bring in someone new. They did that a lot with Tom Brady when they were winning. Hell, Bill O'Brien and Alabama does too. I know it's different because it's college football, but Nick Saban does that all the time. Yep. Lane Kiffin, dude from Ole Miss, was a Hugh Freeze, might have been there. You know, Bill O'Brien's back now. Sometimes it's good to bring in new people, a new voice, someone new, but I'm with you. Eric Bieniemy, Dave Tobe as well, who's done a phenomenal job as a special teams coordinator for this long. The fact he's not been plucked, that says something. Spagnuolo, whatever your thoughts are, he's obviously done a nice job from Bob Sutton turning the defense around. I'm with you. The Chiefs have not lost as much as one would think.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. And everyone wants to make a special case, but they want to do it for each and every person who could possibly leave. And it's like, look, are we just stacking up special cases? Or are we going to admit that no one quite knows what to do with the way the Chiefs run their team and who would be responsible enough to pull from there and plant something similar somewhere else?
Yeah. Let's get into predictions for the divisional round. Bills and Bengals. What are you looking at here?
I have to be honest. At this point, I would not be too afraid of the Buffalo Bills, and I could care less if you're playing in Orchard Park or whether you're playing in Siberia or whether you're playing in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. It doesn't matter. Like, the moment that Von Miller was out, the Bills became gone Miller. Like that, like they got him to beat the Chiefs. They can't beat the Chiefs without him. That's just the way that's going to work. I think their defense is very depleted by injuries. Trey White isn't what he used to be. They're missing their key safeties, which has been the story all year. Yeah, so I'm not afraid there. And I think the Bengals are playing the best football of any team in the NFL right now. I think the Bengals roll the Bills. Wow. And that feel-good story is over.
I thought the Bengals were going to take care of the Bills until the offensive line issues. Jonah is now listed as day-to-day or week-to-week. I don't expect him to be back for this game against the Bills. That's a massive loss. Yeah. We saw what the Bengals looked like with a depleted offensive line. It was a struggle. For all the issues the Bills have, they can land some haymakers. I expect them to land some haymakers against the Bengals secondary. I have the Bills winning this game. I think it's a very close game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout one way or the other, but I think 5 points that the Bills are getting is way too much. Yeah, it's going to be a game-winning field goal or a 1 or 2 point game. But I have the Bills winning just because that offensive line and the issues, that's going to be devastating for Cincinnati.
Yeah. Let's go to predictions for this game. Let's hear, like, Chiefs, Jags. What do you got?
Chiefs, come on. Chiefs by 7 to 10 points. The Jags story is fun. I think they're a well-coached team. I love Doug Peterson. They have some weapons, but they're just not there. They're a year ahead of schedule. You know, you mentioned Calvin Ridley coming back next year. They might even get another wide receiver, some more big pieces. But guess what? They don't have him this year. It's a great story. They're just not as talented as Kansas City, a team that's been here time and time again. The Chiefs, they've been prepared. Andy Reid off a bye. I like the Chiefs in this one. As much fun as the Jacksonville Jaguars are, and I think we'll see some crazy things, Chiefs will get it done.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Chiefs are the wall that they run into. We already talked about this. They're fundamentally sound. The Chiefs are going to be ready. Chiefs by 21. Chiefs by 20, 21. I just don't think it's close. I don't think the spread is close, honestly. I think they're ready.
The stone's on you. Throw some money on that, pal.
I've got Doug Peterson boulders right now. That's how I'm feeling.
All right.
Let's bring Richard in. It's time for the must list. Richard, how are you doing today, man?
Doing great, fellas. It's always a great day listening to you two talk football.
I'll lead out, guys. I've been going back over Arcade Fire's catalog. By the way, if you're new to this, the must list is our weekly, list of things we recommend, whether it's something we want, something we read, something we view, whatever it is. We'd love to pass on recommendations. By the way, we love your recommendations, like in the Discord, in our membership Discord, where we'd love to hear from you. And I've gone and watched things that you guys have recommended. I've listened to things that you guys have recommended. So it's always a great time. But for me this week, I've been going back over old Arcade Fire stuff, and I just love the album Neon Bible. Did you guys ever get into that at all?
That's a great album.
That whole thing front to back for me is amazing. But I remember the first time I was listening on headphones, I got to My Body is a Cage at the end. And it's like the orchestra kicks in, the choirs kick in, that old church organ going on, whatever. And I just remember feeling chills front to back. And I'd forgotten that whole sensation and that whole album until this week. And so, yeah, I can't get enough Neon Bible.
By the way, before we get to Richard, we have a Jags fan in the chat, and he's actually a nice guy. Have fun in Arrowhead. Thank you to everyone in the chat, all of the commenters who are also being nice to the Brandon, the Jags fan. Congratulations, guys. Congratulations on being here. Have fun. Richard, what is your must list?
All right. I can't believe I'm going to have to recommend this one and maybe even describe the log line of this, but we are going to recommend a piece of literature today. But we know Richard doesn't read books. He reads comics. We're recommending a comic. We're getting there. We're recommending a comic written by Matt Fraction, illustrated by Chip Zdarsky. It's called Sex Criminals. I can't show you this cover of this comic because this one's a variant. It's got a very naughty drawing behind this pink board. But Sex Criminals. Now here, Sterling, you need to hold with me here. It's about.
Is it like a fucking Playboy back there, pal? No,
they sold
I'm
these like Playboys.
And I'm reading.
They that, sold these like
an eye doctor chart, and then you turned it into a comic book.
It could work that way too. It could work that way too. But this comic, bear with me now. You try to read it if you can. But this comic, bear with me, is about some individuals who discover that when they complete the deed, time stops. So they do the only logical thing. They rob a bank. So just imagine that. People doing the deed outside of a bank and then putting on their mask and going, let's do this.
What's the deed, Richard?
It's an orgasm, folks. So there you go. Sex Criminals. Matt Fraction, Chip Zdarsky. People orgasm and they stop time.
Here we go.
It's hilarious. It's a really good comic. Check it out.
Dude, we should have saved that for last. There's zero chance I'm beating that one.
Sterling, what do you got now?
Until next week, this was the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. I was going to have Spinal Tap, and Spinal Tap's a great movie, but apparently I can't compete with orgasming bank robbers that Richard's reading. Richard is reading the most wild thing. I can't get over him. It's literally, you're right, Matt. It's an eye doctor chart that he plastered over to Playboy, and apparently this is what he's reading.
He's like the kid who like puts something inside the book in class and like really.
But he actually has a Playboy on the outside, and the inside is like Tolstoy. Like, he doesn't want people to know that he's reading like an actual book.
Take us out of here. Sterling, you do it. You're so good.
This has been the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. Matt Verder, Matt Connor. Matt Verderman wants his name nowhere near this show right now. Richard, Matt Connor, I am Sterling Holmes. Thank you guys so much for commenting in the chat. Thanks for sticking with us during this absolute debacle of the final segment, which we always do. So if you guys like the show, you're just finding this out. Yeah, we talk Chiefs for about 50 minutes and then have a debacle the last 10. It's fun for us. Thank you. I hope you guys have fun too. Until next time, this is the Arrowhead Addict Podcast.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.